What's up, good people? Welcome to a solo podcast from yours truly, Garrett Sisti, part of the Lightning Round Podcast. If you missed the big news yesterday, which kind of leaked in from last week, a couple of podcasters, a couple of content creators got to be a part of the press conference yesterday. The Chargers kind of rolled out the red carpet for us, invited us out there, let us be a part. We got to watch the players work out. There's no football activities yet in phase one. So we got to see the players that were there work out. We got to tour the weight room. We got to tour the equipment room. We got to tour the locker room and some differences in the locker room now. The past regimes had the positions kind of broken up. You had quarterbacks and running backs, O-line, D-line. They were all kind of clustered together. But now Harbaugh decided to put it in numerical order to kind of have everybody co-mingle more. And then another little cool detail was every player had their high school star rating. So whether you were zero star, two star, five star, they had it on your nameplate. And it was kind of like they said that it was, you know, kind of a symbol of how whether you started as a zero star at a high school or a five star at a high school, everybody's together in one place. So, you know, they all kind of came together and are now part of the Chargers, no matter where you came from. So it was a kind of little cool detail they added. And then we got to be a part of the press conference. Gus Edwards was there. The newly acquired running back was part of the press conference. They had the run game coordinators and tight ends coach Andy Bischoff. And then they had the passing game coordinator Marcus Brady. I got footage from all that. A few outlets kind of cherry picked a couple different details from that press conference. I'm going to give you all my thoughts, what I was thinking in the room, and then some questions I got to ask. But it was a really cool experience. And I feel like, you know, some people might be a little big for their britches when it came to an experience like this, but you just got to enjoy every moment, man. And to be able to be in that facility when everybody, I think I can speak for everybody there. When you start out just as a fan, you start to get some listeners, gain some traction. You appreciate the people you meet along the way, and you just kind of learn from every experience. And I've done this before. I'll do it again. You'll see a lot more content from us with the Chargers, whether it's interviews, being a part of those pressers more and whatnot. But I say all that to say that they invited some content creators, including us, that have a direct line to the fans. And the only reason we have that is because you continue to listen, you continue to support us, and not just, hey, we like the video on YouTube, or, you know, we subscribe to the Patreon. It's not those little things. It's the enormous support and groundswell of everybody collectively sending us love all the time that the Chargers took note, and we were able to be a part of that. So I don't take that lightly, because I feel like you guys gave that to me and to us as the Lightning Round Podcast. So thank you. I appreciate not only the Chargers for doing all that, but more importantly, I appreciate you guys, because we could just be a no-name podcast and we'd still have fun doing it. But without your support, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we're doing now. So this is just kind of a next step for the Chargers, the next step for us and the Chargers. And we're kind of leveling up now. And you'll see a lot more stuff from us. I'm going to be working on a lot more interviews and everything in the future, hopefully. So nothing's going to change with the show, just more opportunities. And that's because of you. So thank you. Let's get into the football stuff. We'll start with Gus Edwards, move on to Andy Bischoff, and then we'll move on to Marcus Brady. So three things to talk about today. Videos I shot, thoughts I had in the room. Let's get right into Gus Edwards. All right, so here's the audio and video in the room. Here's everything I got. And so here's Gus Edwards, first off, talking about why he chose the Chargers, the familiarity with Greg Roman, and then also wanting to be part of a physical team led by Jim Harbaugh, which physical seems to be some kind of buzzword in that building. Feels like it could be a drinking game at this point, but there isn't a person that gets up there that isn't going to say physical. And Gus Edwards, being a physical running back, is also going to say that. So here's Gus Edwards.
I just thought it was a great opportunity. The coaching staff that they have been putting together is incredible. Real familiar with Coach Roman and his game. And I just wanted to be part of it because I already know what his mindset is. And same with Coach Harbaugh, I already know what his mindset is. Being a physical team, and I just wanted to be a part of that. He was very successful with his offense over there in Baltimore. And I love this game, the way he's scheming everything up, and just the whole mindset of physicality.
And also, Gus talks about why his play style fits the Chargers perfectly.
I think he wants him back to run downhill. A lot of his schemes kind of that's what it brings, you know, downhill game, running the ball, maybe some traction, working some traps in there. But he wants to see the backs go downhill, and I think that's part of my game. I think that's what has been working for me a lot. Getting those tough yardage, it's what my team has been asking for too. And not to say that I can't do other stuff, but just doing what the team has asked for.
Gus Edwards, obviously a quiet and humble guy off the field, but what you'd love to hear from him is the familiarity with the system, being with Greg Roman again, loving the staff that they put together, loving Jim Harbaugh's attitude. Which obviously everybody does, but him talking about wanting to be physical and how Greg Roman wants to run it downhill. And boy, how long have we as Charger fans wanted to hear something like that? Running it downhill, beat the man across from you. I mean, we've heard we want to run the ball and, you know, get a third and short. We want to be ahead of the sticks and all this kind of coach speak, but every single person is talking about how physical they're going to be, how they want to run it downhill. And while it might frustrate some fans during the season where they run it a little bit more than you'd like them to, downhill running game is a thing of the future and a thing that me personally have wanted forever. And they have not been able to do it. They haven't had the right system. They haven't had the right guys. And quite honestly, they haven't had the right coach. And now they do. And it feels so different to have them actually talk it and back it up, because there's been a lot of talk, but the last 3-4 coaches have not backed it up. And man, they're already doing it before the season already starts. And look, we're talking about an off-season program. We haven't seen them play actual football yet, but you can tell they're putting those bricks in place, man. And for Gus Edwards to say they want to run downhill, no better running game in my mind. Forget the finesse. I almost cussed. Forget the finesse running game. It's time to beat up the man across from you. Go run power. Go run downhill. Go beef up that offensive line. You love to hear that from Gus Edwards. I personally do. And my eyes lit up when he was talking about it. And, you know, he's kind of delivering it in kind of a it's what to be expected type of tone. But not from us, not us Charger fans. We don't expect that stuff. And I know that they keep talking about it. Everybody keeps talking about it in the press conference. But when you got the man you're going to be handing that rock to talk about it, it's a beautiful thing to hear. So, you know, good fit for the Chargers. Obviously, we talked about it during the free agency podcast and when they signed him. But to get a power running back like Gus Edwards in that building and kind of beef up a couple other groups, which we'll talk about in a second, it's a beautiful thing, man. So Gus Edwards, he's your man. The Gus bus going to be running downhill. No brakes, all gas from Gus Edwards running downhill. I was thinking more like an actual bus running downhill with no brakes was the metaphor I was going for. But then I fired off with all gas, no brakes from a man who might be a little bit too old to be using that phrase. So moving on, because I'm not, you know, a teenager, but also I'm young, man. Andy Bischoff, maybe at heart. Andy Bischoff, next up here. Run game coordinator, tight ends coach, said some very, very interesting things. The first thing, which a couple people picked up on line, is Greg Roman talking about he's wanting to build an epic, he used the word epic and defined the word, offense for the Chargers.
You always look back and say, man, we could have done this a little differently. We could have tightened this up a little more. And I think we're trying to create something epic. You know, this morning in our team meeting with the offense, he used the word epic in front of the guys and defined it. And why not create something different than has ever been done. And as much success as we've all had in different places doing different things, none of that really matters. All that matters is right now and creating that here. You got to come to work every day with great pride in what you do. You want to build the people up that are around you. And that starts with your players. And, you know, we want a group of men that are smart, tough, dependable, vicious players. It doesn't have to only involve the run game. Every down provides the opportunity for a competitive down. And we want that. And we're gonna build that kind of team through Joe and Jim's leadership and through the vision of our offense. And, I mean, we got a staff of guys that all believe that. We're all working in unison, which is fun to see.
Two things here from this clip. One, talking about competitive downs. The only way to get competitive downs on a down-to-down basis is by building out your middle to bottom of your roster. Now, hear me out. Having your starters go 1v1 is great in camp. The issue is, and what issue Tom Telesco had during his entire era, is that on paper, your starters could look great. The Chargers can be Super Bowl contenders from every pundit in the nation. But the problem is, once those starters go down, you need somebody behind them to step up. And injuries occur to the Chargers every year. It happens to NFL teams every single year. But if you don't build out that middle to bottom of your roster, you get no competition. You get competitive downs starting in training camp and OTAs when you start to build out the middle and bottom of your roster. Having your starters compete is excellent. But if you don't have somebody else to step up with those starters, then you have no competition and you will not have competitive downs. And we've seen that through free agency from Ortiz and Harbaugh and how he's building out this roster. That's excellent to hear. Second thing is, Bischoff said he wants smart and tough and dependable players, which is great. But that fourth thing is vicious. They want vicious players. And to me, making maybe a cosmic leap here is vicious players to me, for lack of a better term, sometimes have a screw loose. I'm not saying you got to go out and find the craziest people you can to put on your roster. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there's going to be some instances or two where maybe even during the draft, somebody has a little checkered past. Maybe there's a small red flag or two. Tom Telesco isn't drafting those guys. He's certainly not picking them up in free agency. This team might be a little bit more open to that. And again, I'm making assumptions here, but to me, vicious players, vicious. You could find a smart, tough, dependable player, which are all three words that I feel like Tom Telesco's used throughout his tenure. But vicious, I didn't hear any language like that from Tom Telesco. So the next clip is about building a brand new offense, a unique offense for Justin Herbert.
I think in general, he's embracing everything we're doing. And I think he feels a fresh perspective that's centered on providing the best offense that he's played with. And that's nothing against what he's played with. It's only focused on what we have our opportunity to do right here and right now. And so we want to protect him, okay, so he can be at his best. We want to provide a run game that can give us balance. And we want to be an offense that's different and unique for him to be able to function at his best. And he's embraced it all.
Now, creating a unique offense is good, but creating the best offense that Herbert's ever had feels like this is the start of them dropping a few breadcrumbs yesterday. And I know he mentioned offensive line, and I know he mentioned the run game and everything, but the best offense doesn't just revolve around offensive line and running back. The best offense is a complete offense. And what they are lacking is wide receiver. Now, I'm reading between the lines here again, but if you want to create the best offense Justin Herbert's ever had, they're going to have to make some serious additions to the wide receiver room. They might need to make addition to the offensive line room, which I think will end up happening. But that kind of leads us to, you know, the clip that's gained the most steam from yesterday. And that's this comment on the offensive line.
When it comes to our strength program, it's built around the O-line. You know, everybody else fall in line. And so some people don't value offensive linemen. We do. Okay. And that will be shown in how we approach everything from how we stretch to how we lift, to how we run the ball, to how we protect. This is a place where O-linemen are going to want to come and play because it's an O-line centric space where we're going to raise these guys up and make them feel great about what they do and what they have to offer and not push them to the side and make them the afterthought. They are at the forefront of our thinking.
Offensive line is in the forefront of their thinking. How do you not love that? I don't hear we're going to invest early draft capital in offensive line. I don't hear Joe Alt at five, like Twitter said yesterday. I don't hear any of that. I just hear, oh, offensive line is very important. And how do you not love to hear that? I love to hear it. What I also love to hear, which I thought was really, really interesting, maybe one of the most interesting things that I heard yesterday, is him talk about the tight ends.
I mean, when you start with Will, you're talking about one of the three guys in the league that can own the C-gap, period.
Let's pause right here. And I don't want this to get lost on anybody because I think it's important. For anybody that doesn't know gaps or anything like that, here's a little graphic for you. C being center, this is the offensive line here in the bubbles. You got center, you've got LG, RG, which is left guard, right guard. You've got right tackle, left tackle, RTLT, and then you got tight end, which is TE on either side. The letters here are your gaps. You've got A, which is either shoulder or the center. The B gap is there between the guard and the tackles. And then that C gap is on the end of the offensive line on either side of the right tackle and left tackle. He's talking about Will Dissly owning that C gap. That edge rusher that's trying to come off the edge, set an edge in the run game, he's saying Will Dissly owns that C-gap to help secure the edge for the running back. So anyway, back to what he's saying.
This is a different kind of football league we live in now, and to have a tight end that can own the C-gap is rare, and he's one of those guys. And so you start with him and his ability to get that done for you, and then let's not lose sight on what he can provide you in the passing game. And this is a guy who catches the ball at a high percentage in terms of his target to catch ratio, a guy who doesn't drop the football and who protects the football, doesn't fumble it, okay? Then you have a guy, Hayden. I mean, to me, you have six guys in the league that everybody wants, and you name the six. You go with Kittle, you can say Waller, you name whoever you want. Everybody wants those six guys, okay? And there's no reason that Hayden can't be that next guy. You know, there's no reason. He's got all the speed, all the hands, all the ability. Hayden just needs to find the right situation. And we knew when we had him in 2019, that was the right situation for us. We couldn't control where it went from there, but we love the guy. And we're nothing but happy to have this guy here. And he will provide that athletic element to this offense that gives us an opportunity. And then you have guys in this room that have been here in DP and Stone. And Ben Mason that has had some history with this offense. So we've got five guys in this room that have an opportunity to compete and give us the room that we need to have. This offense needs tight ends to be productive, whether we're running it, passing it, blocking, they got to be real tight ends. And that's the kind of room we're trying to build.
You love to hear Bischoff kind of lament about Will Dissly and owning the C-gap, because when you're offensive line centric, those are kind of those guys. The extension of the run game, extension of the offensive line, being able to own that C-gap in the run game, set an edge for the running game, that's very important. And then him talking about his dependable hands was very interesting too. But even more interesting is his outlook on Hayden Hurst in this offense. I mean, saying that he could be a top six tight end in the NFL is very interesting. Now, he did talk about how in 2019 he was in the right environment, but then there's things that he couldn't control. He's referring to the Ravens trading Hurst to the Atlanta Falcons that next offseason. So he couldn't, that was out of his control, made a jump from year one to year two, then gets traded to Atlanta. But you know, a guy who you kind of felt like might not even play football anymore, but medically cleared, and then go to, he could be a top six tight end in this league with his athleticism and his yards out of the catch ability and his hands. That's very interesting. So maybe a little bit higher on Hurst than a lot of fans are. And then talking about how a tight end group they're still trying to fill out, sounds like there might be another addition to the tight end room, whether that's in the draft or a UDFA or another free agent signing. That's to be determined. And he talked about the five, Hurst and Disley. He mentioned Parham. He mentioned Stone Smart. And then threw in Ben Mason there, who's kind of the fullback tight end hybrid there. So Ben Mason being part of that group, probably going to be listed as a fullback on the roster, but obviously adding Mason to that group. So then we moved on to our last coach that was part of this press conference, which was Marcus Brady, and he was a passing game coordinator. And this is where I was able to throw in my two cents, because they talked about Herbert and they talked about this offense, but there wasn't really much talk about wide receivers. And when he started to talk about how they needed to fill out that group, that's where I jumped in and asked my question.
And, I mean, it's still early right now. Obviously, we got the draft coming up, and we'll see where that goes. And then, you know, talking to Joe and Jim, you know, obviously we know we have to fill the room. And so, you know, we'll get to that point when the time's right. But yeah, we do have some guys here that we are excited about. Quinn Johnson, his development, you know, going into year two. You know, some guys don't always just start fast in their rookie season, but they can make that jump that second year. Love working with Sanjay right now. I think he's going to, you know, he's doing a great job. Obviously, he's a very experienced coach, worked with a lot of really good receivers. And just talking ball with him and, you know, how he's coaching them. I'm excited about, you know, just developing all these guys. And, you know, once we can get them on the field, I mean, right now we're in the classroom. So it's really, again, we're just really just teaching these guys the terminology.
You talked about the wide receiver room. What you have to fill it out. What kind of players are you looking for? What kind of skill sets are you looking for? What do you want to help improve that passing game?
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to be looking for a variety, you know. But as far as scouting, we have a lot, again, to fill the room. So I mean, we want guys that can make plays in all aspects. You know, obviously, they got to be able to get on the field. You got to be able to block. So you got to be able to do that. But we want. I mean, when you're talking about offense, I always think about basketball, right? You're gonna have different roles. You want guys that can stretch the field. You want guys that can be quick possession. You got guys that can win quickly, or you want guys that could win at the catch point. So, and we have some of those guys, and we're kind of build there. But you know, we'll see what's available to us throughout the draft, throughout the finish off free agency, as well as working with the guys that are here, and then kind of go from there.
I mean, first of all, camera work. It's got to improve. I got to do better. Okay. Everybody, let's take accountability here. Okay. I need to be better on the camera work when I'm asking that question. But you want to give another man eye contact, you know, when you're asking a question. Obviously, I was slacking on the camera angle, but I just wanted him to say we're drafting Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. I didn't get that. But what he did say is it's really clear. And he laughed about how they need to fill out that room. They need to get better in that room. You know, talking about Quentin Johnston is great, and hoping that he makes that leap in year two, or he has the confidence that he will, is great to hear. But this is another little breadcrumb I feel like they're dropping about wide receiver. I mean, if you're laughing about how that room isn't quite filled out yet, I don't know, man. I mean, it's pretty clear they're going to be drafting a wide receiver. You know, it feels like the money's at number five. I think people are reading into that offensive line group, and they might be kind of throwing a little smoke or a little misdirect. But, man, you know, I was hoping they would give traits of wide receivers. Brady didn't really give that. He's kind of like, hey, we want to fill it out with all different skill sets, which is great. You know, I wanted to hear like, hey, man, we need to get younger and faster, which is something we've heard before. I would love to hear him say that, but he didn't. He gave me his best answer about being a complete room, which you obviously want to hear. So that was it, man. That was the experience. I really appreciated being part, and I appreciate you guys getting me there, because it really feels like you guys got me there. So thanks again. Some key points about Gus Edwards wanting to be downhill, which is very, very important. We got to hear Bischoff talk about the tight ends, talk about a unique passing game, talking about getting vicious players, talking about the importance of offensive line, which you also love to hear. And then you got Marcus Brady talking about the passing game and the wide receivers he's looking for. So thanks again, guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for watching, listening, and I'll see you next time.